Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
We continue our series, Bear Fruit. This is week four. David was asking me, you know, how many sermons, and I realized this is already week four. Week four, we started on our first outdoor service of the summer. We continue. Today, we're talking about patience. Patience is the next one. So, we've talked about love. We've talked about joy. We talked about peace. We discovered that joy isn't based on our circumstances. Amen? And peace isn't the absence of problems. Common misconception that we might have. Both come from staying connected to Jesus. One of the ideas, one of the highlights we landed on last week was that the hidden life determines the visible life. The hidden life determines the visible life. That was one of the takeaways from last week. And I just wanted to say, I apologize, we weren't able to get to our printer this morning, so we don't have notes and follow-up, fill-in-the-blank sheet, so I apologize for that, but we'll get it sorted this week so that we can be back into that routine for next week. Now, if you guys remember, last week we talked about oranges. The week before that, we talked about apples. But one of the things is, when we look at trees, I think my tree's still there. Can you guys see the apples still there? We can't just go and hang fruit on a tree, right? When you see a fruit on a tree, something has already happened. Something that is not visible has been going on. It's already there. It's already beneath the surface. Roots have been drawing up water. The tree has been growing. Life has been developing where no one could see it. Today I want to spend or build on that idea. If one of last week's main ideas was the hidden life determines the visible life, then today's lesson, or line to remember, is that the hidden life also determines the pace of the visible life. It also determines the pace of the visible life. Or to put it another way, healthy growth takes time. Healthy growth takes time. Our culture doesn't like that message very much. We've been conditioned to expect everything now, right away. Now, if we're shopping on Amazon and it tells us a package will arrive in 2 days, we're like, oh yeah, perfect, that's good. That's the way it should be. When it tells you that it's going to arrive on August 16th or something, what happens? We end up looking for a different option, right? If we stand in our kitchen and we want to eat something, what do? I think most of us do, I think. I'm assuming here, but in our household, we put our food in the microwave because putting it in the oven just takes too long. If we're accessing the internet on our computer, on our phones, and a web page takes more than 30 seconds to load, we think that something's wrong. We're so accustomed to things coming quickly to us. We've become impatient people living in an impatient world. The problem is not that we often bring those same expectations into our relationships, but the problem is also that we bring those expectations into our relationship with God. We pray once and expect an answer tomorrow. We confess sin and expect never to struggle with it again. We read a chapter of the Bible and we expect instant spiritual maturity. We come to church for a few Sundays and wonder why our life hasn't completely changed. But when we read Scripture, one of the things that becomes obvious is that God is rarely in a hurry. God is rarely in a hurry. Think about Abraham. God promised him a son, and then he waited 25 years. Think about Moses. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness. Only then did God call him to lead Israel. David was anointed king as a teenager, but spent years running from Saul before he even sat on the throne. Even Jesus spent about 30 years preparing for his 3 years of public service, for his 3 years of ministry. If anybody could have skipped the waiting, the preparing period, it surely was Jesus, but he didn't. God is far less concerned about speed than we are. He's concerned about transformation. I'm not sure that everybody knows this. For a few months ago, I started working through what we call a certification, or it's called a Forest and Nature School Certification, Forest and Nature School Practitioner. One of the reasons I was drawn to this was because I've always loved the idea of being outside. I think most of you guys know that I was born in Mexico City. I grew up in the city. And from Mexico, I moved to Toronto, another urban center. Not a lot of nature, but in Toronto, there was more nature than there was ever in Mexico City. And it's always caught my attention. I was always interested in knowing and doing more. And then from Toronto, Jessica and I moved to Beijing for 2 years, and another huge city, not much nature there at all. But then when we came back to Canada, God brought us to Yellowknife. And I would say that Yellowknife is probably one of the places that have had the most nature in anywhere that we've lived before. And I've always been drawn to nature and what it is, and I think it's because of God's creation. People always tell you, when you look at nature outside, how many of you guys, maybe I ask you this, how many of you guys, when you look at nature, think about God and how God created it? Anyone? Yeah, I see some hands. It puts us in awe, right? I think sometimes medical practitioners feel the same way, right? When they get to understand the human body and how it was perfectly designed. It brings us to that awe of the designer, the creator. That's kind of what it is for me with nature. I like the idea of being outside. I think I sometimes struggle with being outside and the bugs and all that stuff. I think it's a common thing for all of us. But I realize that God created it all, and there's a system in place. But I've, because of that certification, I've spent time studying. And that is also tied to my other job, which is early childhood education. So we're talking about forest and nature when it connects to children's development. And that's where the whole, it all comes together for me, right? Kids thrive while being outside. But one of the things I wanted to highlight is that God doesn't rush, so nature never rushes. Trees don't rush, flowers don't rush, seeds don't rush. Our fruit doesn't just happen. It doesn't rush. Everything grows exactly the way God designed it to grow. Creation as a whole trusts the process God designed. One of the stories that's fascinating me during one of my courses is about bamboo. Everybody knows what bamboo is, right? Zeke, who likes to eat bamboo? Panda bears, that's right. But bamboo, most of the species of bamboo, when they're planted, they are watered for years. They are cared for years. Yet almost nothing seems to happen. Now, I'm not sure if you knew that, but that's how a bamboo tree grows. You think that nothing was growing at all. But beneath the surface, the roots are spreading and becoming stronger enough to support what comes next. Then, when the root system is finished or ready, the bamboo suddenly shoots up upward at an astonishing rate. When you think that nothing's happening, it goes on for a while, but then all of a sudden, it just grows. And people call it, it grows exponentially. You can actually see it. The question is, when did the bamboo actually grow? Was it during those few weeks when everybody finally noticed it growing and getting bigger? Or was it during those years when no one could see anything happening? I think the answer is both. The visible growth only happened because of years of invisible growth. Now, as you think about that, when I thought about that, I realized that's exactly how God has worked in my life. Maybe that's how he's worked in your life. But that is how he has worked in my life. Not just as a pastor, not just as a professor or instructor at the college, but also as a father. When Jessica and I had our first kid, Zeke, who's our eldest, Ezekiel, but we call him Zeke, I honestly thought that parenting was mostly about learning techniques. You know, you read through some books, you ask enough questions, you figure out the right methods, but it's always different. We say there's no manual for it. Every kid is different. You got to do things differently every time. One of the things that happened with Zeke is he started to learn how to read. I remember sitting beside him as we slowly worked through some of the words together. And I definitely didn't do much of that as much as Jessica did. Jessica spent a lot of time working with Zeke. But we would sit down and sound out words. You know, cat, 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 and then try to put it together. And sometimes I struggle, and Zeke would just look at me, and we try to do it again, right? But it was a process. Sometimes it felt like a very slow process. But to our amazement, suddenly everything just clicked. Just one day, we noticed him sitting, and he wasn't sounding out words anymore. He was reading on his own. It almost felt like it happened overnight. But it didn't. It happened through hundreds of ordinary moments, hundreds of page after page, word after word, mistake after mistake, lesson after lesson. Now we have a hard time prying him away from books, and I have to ask him to not bring a book into the grocery store because he runs into things while he's trying to read and walking inside the store. And I got to say, even before he started reading, if anybody would sit with him and read, he would spend hours reading. So he's always had that love for books. Today, he just reads on his own. I like to relate it to our sermon, as in now, Jess and I can see him reading, and that is the fruit that has come from all the processing and preparing. The growth didn't start when Zeke was able to sound whole words or read words at a time. The growth started when we decided to spend time and invest time with him. It was simply a day that it became visible. And church, I wonder how many of us become discouraged because we mistake invisible growth for no growth. And I want you to think about that for a second. How many of us mistake invisible growth for no growth? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, I'm still struggling with the same temptation. I'm still praying the same prayer. I'm still waiting for God to answer. I'm still trying to become more patient. Can I encourage you? Because just because you can't see growth doesn't mean that God isn't growing something. Maybe he's growing roots. Maybe he's strengthening your character. Maybe he's teaching you to trust him in ways you couldn't have learned in any other way. Because that's how fruit grows. And that's exactly where James begins. He writes, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, if we're being honest, when you read that, I think it's a strange verse in the Bible. James is talking about rejoicing when you face trials. Maybe you want to ask James, "James, have you ever gone or been through trials?" Because that's not how most of us respond to a trial. When life falls apart, but the diagnosis comes back, when money gets tight, when somebody we love walks away from Jesus, our first response isn't usually joy. So what could James possibly mean? But also notice what he doesn't say. James doesn't say, "Be happy because suffering is fun." He doesn't say, "Pretend everything is okay." He doesn't say, "Trials are good." He says, "Consider it joy because you know something." The joy isn't in the trial. The joy is in what God is doing through the trial. James says, "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Now that word, produces, is important here. God isn't wasting your pain. He's producing something through it. And I think that changes everything. Nobody prays, "God, make me more patient," and then hopes life becomes easier. Have you ever noticed how God answers that prayer? When you pray for patience, what happens? Maybe you pray for patience, and then every slow driver in your life goes in front of you while you're trying to drive somewhere. Maybe you pray for patience, and your kids suddenly discover a new way to test it. We laugh and we smile because we have all lived it. But maybe that's exactly how God grows patience. He doesn't simply give it to us. He develops it. Patience grows under pressure. James continues, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." That phrase is important. Let perseverance finish its work. In other words, don't quit halfway through the process. We live in a culture that loves beginnings. We start a new diet. It's exciting to start something new. We start a new Bible reading plan. It's exciting. We start a new habit, something different, something new, because it's exciting. But finishing is much harder. But God has committed to finishing what he starts. Sometimes we become discouraged because we've evaluated ourselves halfway through God's work, but he is not finished. Imagine walking into someone's kitchen while they're baking a cake. The flour is on the counter. There's eggshells on one side. There's stuff on the floor. The batter you look at and it doesn't look very appealing. If you judge the cake at that moment, you would think that something had gone terribly wrong. But the baker would simply tell you, "I am not finished." And I wonder if that's how God wants some of us to think about it. I wonder if that's what God wants you to hear this morning. You look at your life and think, I'm still struggling. I still lose my temper. I still worry. I still have doubts. And God says, I am not finished yet. Philippians 1:6 says, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. Notice who begins the work. God. Notice who finishes the work. God. Our job isn't to complete ourselves. Our job is to remain faithful while He completes His work in us. And I think that's incredibly freeing. Because many Christians quietly believe they're not growing fast enough. We compare ourselves to people who have followed Jesus for decades. We compare our marriages, we compare our faith, or our walk with God. Comparison convinces us that we are failing. But fruit trees don't have the capacity to compare each other. Apple trees will never look at an orange tree and wish that they were different. God is never, or He's not growing identical trees. He's growing healthy ones. The question is, or well, the question isn't, am I growing fast or as fast as someone else? The question should be, am I staying connected to Jesus? Am I staying connected to Jesus? Healthy growth looks different in every season. Some seasons are full of blossoms. Some produce fruit. Some are quiet. And some are pruning seasons. Jesus tells us that the Father prunes fruitful branches. Think about that. He doesn't prune branches because they're failing. He prunes them because they're fruitful. Pruning isn't punishment. It's preparation. Sometimes God removes something not to harm us, but to prepare us for greater fruit. Maybe we've lost an opportunity. Maybe our relationship has ended. Maybe life hasn't unfolded the way you expected it to. Instead of asking God, why did you take this away? Maybe the better question is, God, what fruit are you preparing for me to bear? Healthy fruit takes time. And God refuses to sacrifice lasting character for quick results. Now that brings us to Paul's word in Ephesians. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. At first, it almost sounds like Paul has changed the subject. James talks about trials. Paul talks about relationships. But they're really talking about the same thing from two different angles. James teaches us how God grows patience. Paul shows us where patience is seen. God uses different circumstances to grow patience and difficult people. To reveal it. Think about it. You don't know how patient you are until somebody gives you a reason to be patient. Right? How do you measure patience? You get to know if you're patient until somebody gives you a reason to be patient. Anybody can be patient when life is easy. Anybody can love people who are easy to love. Fruit isn't proven when life is comfortable. Fruit is revealed when life becomes difficult. Paul says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Paul uses what I call a very fascinating, interesting word here, be patient. And this word in Greek is actually makrothymia. Makrothymia. It's made up of two words. Makro, which means long, and thymos, which means temper or anger. So literally, the translation that Paul is saying here is be long-tempered. And I think that's very interesting because the opposite of patient isn't simply waiting. It's having a short fuse. We've all experienced it. Somebody cuts you off while you're driving. Our child asks you the same question for the 20th time. A coworker frustrates you. And suddenly, boom, your fuse wasn't very long. Here's what I've discovered to be true. You don't know how patient you are until somebody gives you a reason not to be. Fruit isn't proven when life is comfortable. Fruit is revealed when life becomes difficult. And that's why James and Paul fit together so beautifully. James says that God uses difficult circumstances to grow patience. Paul says God uses difficult people to reveal patience. As I reflected on Zeke learning to read as I was preparing the sermon this week, I realized something that I never thought about before. When Zeke was learning to read, his growth wasn't the only thing being tested. Mine was too. There were times we'd sound out the same words over and over again. There were moments when I wanted to say, come on, Zeke, you already know this. But then I remember, he is learning. He is growing. Growth takes time. In those moments, God wasn't only teaching Zeke how to read, he was teaching me how to be patient. Children have a way of revealing what's already inside of us. Marriage has a way of revealing what's already inside of us. Church has a way of revealing what's already inside of us. Pressure doesn't create what's inside. Pressure exposes what's already inside. That's why the fruit of the Spirit isn't most obvious on Sunday mornings. It's most obvious on Monday afternoon, when your plans change, when somebody hurts you, when your child melts down, when life doesn't cooperate. Those moments reveal what has really or actually been growing beneath the surface. And if you're anything like me, sometimes what comes out isn't fruit. Sometimes it's frustration. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's selfishness. Which brings us to the most important question of this morning. If patience is fruit, where does it come from? Because here's what I know. If I leave church today determined to simply try harder, I probably do pretty well. But somebody gives me a reason not to just go and try harder. That's Paul. He never says produce the fruit. He says the fruit of the Spirit. It's his fruit, not ours. Fruit is not manufactured. We can't hang it up on a tree. Fruit is grown. The fruit grows because the tree is alive. Now, Jesus says something remarkably similar in John 15. And we talked about this before. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, Jesus didn't say, try harder. He says, remain. Stay connected. Stay rooted. Stay close. Because fruit is a natural result of abiding. Patience isn't something we achieve for Jesus. It's something that Jesus grows in us. Then I started thinking about Jesus himself. Who was the most difficult person Jesus ever had to be patient with? I like to say that's me. How many times have I promised to trust them? And then I worried anyway. How many times have I confessed the same sin? How many times have I doubted his goodness? How many times he had to teach me the same lesson? Yet he isn't giving up on me. He hasn't lost his temper on me. He hasn't thrown me away. He is patient. He is patient. Look at his disciples. Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him. The disciples misunderstood him again and again. Yet Jesus patiently taught them. He patiently corrected them. He patiently restored them. After Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus didn't replace him. He restored him. Why? Because that's who Jesus is. Peter would later write, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Instead, he is patient with you." And that is the reason we can become patient people. We can become patient people because we have first been loved by a patient Savior. His patience towards us becomes a pattern for our patience towards others. The Holy Spirit takes the patience we receive from Christ and slowly begins producing the same patience within us. Not overnight, not instantly, slowly, like fruit, one season at a time. Maybe today you've been discouraged because you don't think you're growing. Maybe you've been looking at your life and thinking, I should be further along by now. But don't compare your tree to someone else's. The gardener knows exactly what he's doing. Some of you are in a season where all you can see is dirt. You don't see fruit. You don't see blossoms. You don't even see progress. But maybe, just maybe, God is growing roots. The bamboo tree that I talked about didn't become strong in one day or in the day that everybody noticed it. It became strong during the years nobody noticed it. Zeke didn't become a reader overnight. Hundreds of ordinary moments made that day possible. And you won't become more like Jesus overnight either. One prayer, one act of obedience, one difficult conversation, one moment of choosing forgiveness, one day of remaining in Christ, then another, and another. One day you'll look back and realize the day you noticed the fruit wasn't the day God started growing you. It was simply the day you finally saw what he had been doing all along. So don't give up. Stay rooted. Keep feeding your soul with God's word. Keep spending time with Jesus. Keep reading scripture. Keep trusting the gardener. Because healthy fruit takes time. And remember the truth we've been carrying through this whole series. What you feed on shapes what grows. What you feed on shapes what grows. Be careful if you're praying for patience, because you know what's coming. He'll give you an opportunity. He is a loving Father. He will listen for what you are asking for. He has promised to always be there. It is our job to stay connected. It is our job to abide in Him. It is our job to remain in Him. So let's remain in Him. Let's seek Him with everything that we do. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.